one of the evils, probably the greatest evil of a preacher in a conference or any time, is wanting to be original. One of the greatest evils. There's nothing new. But it's pretty bad, and we can't even be original thanking the ladies for the food, brother. You beat me to it. But I'll say it anyway. I know it'll sound like new because it's coming from me. We thank you. My wife and I thank you, ladies, for preparing all the food. I know your pastor took a lot of credit, especially when it comes to Glenda cooking food. He said she would say different. But, brother, I know you didn't cook the food. Oh, we thank you. We've had a wonderful time. Brother, appreciate that message. What a wonderful message. I asked the pastor downstairs to getting some water. I said, can I just say ditto and sit down? He said no. Well, it's not new. But I pray and ask the Lord this morning that He would once again show us, show me His mercy. I need mercy. I did not say I needed mercy. I need mercy. I need mercy now. I know that all men need mercy, but I know I need mercy. And I pray the Lord to once again show Himself in His Word. Bring honor and glory to His name. And show mercy. It is the greatest glory of God, as is revealed in the Word. When Moses asked Him, I pray Thee, I beseech Thee, show me Your glory. The Lord said, I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. Merciful. Gracious. He's a merciful God. He delights to show mercy, brother. And I want to see this morning one more time. In John chapter 8, if you will, open your Bibles with me there. John chapter 8. And you know this passage. You've read this passage. And I pray the Lord will once again show us Himself in this passage. John chapter 8, verse 1 says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. Well, what would the Lord be teaching them? Stay with me for a moment. I'm going to go verse by verse. There's so many different ways I've preached this message. I think I'm going to preach it verse by verse today. What would the Lord Jesus Christ be teaching them? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And He taught the Word. He taught the Old Testament and showed them the things concerning Himself. It is no different this morning. It is no different this morning. We must be taught of Him. We must be taught. When the Lord Jesus Christ sat down and taught the people, oh, pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would teach us. If it's the word of this man, this pastor, your pastor, Brother Chris, it's just the word of a man. But when the Lord Jesus Christ teaches, when He teaches, it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And everyone that is taught of God, what does it say? They come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When He teaches, He doesn't teach amiss. All His students are graduating. all His students, all the ones that He teaches, He's not just speaking amiss. He talks to His people. And He reveals Himself to them. And it does not tell us what particular passage he was teaching. One time he came into the synagogue and read from the book of Isaiah, and after reading, and he said, "This day has this prophecy been fulfilled in your ears." Every time. Every time. He is the fulfillment of all this written in the prophets and the Psalms. He is the fulfillment. He taught them. But I think, if you will allow me, I think he was talking to them about the need for mercy, need for God's mercy. And the Lord always used illustrations. And this is no miracle or no coincidence that these men interrupted the Lord Jesus Christ with this particular scenario. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to illustrate right here how God saves sinners. And it says in verse 3, the scribes and the Pharisees came, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees represent God's holy law. God's holy law is inflexible. God's holy law, it's holy law. It's a just. And it demands perfect obedience of every one of us, of every son of Adam, obedience, perfect obedience. The law does not contain any stipulation of mercy in it. The law says, do and live. That's it. Do this and live. You don't do, you die. It's that cut and dry. It's that. There's no stipulation. They brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. The law apprehended this woman. And I want us to notice here that the law always brings guilty sinners, and I believe I'm saying it right, guilty sinners to the judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of all earth. He said, all judgment is given to the Son. All judgment. The Father judges no man. He has committed all judgment to the Son. This which is happening right here, when our Lord was teaching, is going to happen also in eternity. When this world is over, and all the souls of men come before God, they're coming before that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. They brought these men, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they brought this woman, the scribes and the Pharisees, brought this woman to the right place, the judge of all earth. And he must do right. The God of all earth must do right. Not only is he the judge, but he is the interpreter of the law. He's the giver of the law, and he's the interpreter of the law. You and I, men by nature, we have a way of trying to squirm out of everything. I believe you know what I'm saying. We say, Adam started it. He said, the woman you gave me. Not my fault. The woman you gave me. Men and women always try to say, well, I think it means this. This is what I believe it means. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. And the holy law of God demands perfection, not only in the outward, the actions, but also in the thoughts and imaginations and intentions. And this woman was brought before the Lord, the judge of all earth. And notice it says she was taken. She was taken in adultery. Adultery is the sin committed when two who are not married are joined. That's adultery. This picture is the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's wife, His bride. His bride. And all His people from eternity were given to Him as spouse to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is a jealous, jealous God. But we in our nature have committed spiritual adultery. We in our nature have joined ourselves to one who is no God. We have given our affections to one who is not the true and living God, who is not our husband. And we are guilty of spiritual adultery. We are guilty of spiritual adultery by going after false gods. This woman represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It represents me. I see myself in this woman. This is the sin of which the Holy Spirit convicts. This is the sin which the Holy Spirit convicts His people. All men are sinners by nature, by practice, by choice. But the Lord said in John chapter 16, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict of sin in that they have not believed in Me. You have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. You've received every other God. You've received every other God into your bosom. But you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. Guilty. Guilty. And all mouth is going to be stopped. Guilty. This woman was taken in the very act. She was taken in adultery. And notice it says here, they set her in the midst. All the people came unto the Lord, and the Lord was teaching them. And these Pharisees came in, these scribes, and they cast this woman on the ground. Can you see this woman? Can you see yourself before the holy law of God? Guilty, condemned, guilty, naked, exposed, shame, condemnation. This woman was taken in adultery. Notice it says in the very act. It says, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Sufficient witnesses. Sufficient guilty. Notice here also the sovereign mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. But where do you see that? She was taken in the very act. She was taken in the very act. That's sovereign mercy. You see, if she was taken in the very act, where was the man? Where was the man? The law commands that both should be put to death. All are sinners and come short of God. All are deserving of God's wrath. But listen, only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to receive mercy. Only those who are convicted of sin. The Holy Spirit is not convicting of sin and then leaves you in your misery. He doesn't convict. It's a hard thing, brother. You mentioned that. It didn't seem like a work of grace. No. It's very troubling. This woman was sitting there in front of the Lord Jesus. She said, I'm dead. All she's waiting for is the stones to fly. I'm dead. I'm guilty. Where's the man? Can you imagine the man? Ooh, I got away. I got away. Oh, no. Oh, no. Salvation is being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Today. This man might have thought, I got away with it. And men think that because the lightning doesn't strike them right then, they got away with something. But God's justice is sure. Their foot will slide in due time. God will judge. Oh, that God would bring you and me today, this morning, to His feet. Expose us. Expose us for what? Expose me for what I am. That's mercy. That's mercy. She was caught in the very act. Only the woman was brought, and only the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. All are guilty. There is evidence against the whole world. We know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And every mouth is stopped. The woman's mouth is stopped in this occasion, and every mouth will be stopped in that final day. Those who stand outside the Lord Jesus Christ in their own righteousness, their mouth will be stopped at that time. And become guilty. The objects of mercy are convicted, are exposed, are laid naked. Did I say that right? Okay. I understand here in West Virginia you have different ways of saying that. I didn't know. I should have looked at another word. Sorry. Convinced of sin. Convinced. If God gives me what I deserve, if I get what I deserve, the stones are going to fly. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? What does he say? What does infinite mercy, what does the infinite wisdom? These men brought, it says here in this text that they brought him looking to accuse him. They thought they had the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, with his back against the wall. What's he going to say? We got him now. If he says, let her go, we'll say he's violating God's law. And if he says, stone her, we'll say, well, he's not a friend of sinners. But that's like saying, well, we're gonna put a riddle before in infinite wisdom, and infinite wisdom's not going to be able to solve it. Well, the fact is, none other could. You could ask the heavens, can God show mercy? Ask the stars. Ask the creation. Ask the angels. Can God show mercy? Can He be merciful and yet be truthful to His law? Can He be merciful? The law says the law must be satisfied. Justice must be satisfied. But the infinite wisdom of God has found a way. I found a way. It says here, they said, what sayest thou? Well, that's all that matters, isn't it? What does he say? In a moment, we'll see what he says. But right now, let us see what he does. First, let's see what he does. Now, our Lord, it says here, every time you see this little word, but stop. What do you say? This said they tempted him that they might have accusing. But Jesus. But God who is what? Rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in trust, there's no hope for us. There's no hope for this woman. She's dead. There's no hope for you this morning. You're dead. But the Lord Jesus Christ. But Him. But Jesus stooped down. Jehovah saves. Jehovah says. You know, the Lord didn't say to this woman, here she is sitting on the cast down before all the people, guilty, naked, in her shame. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say to her, now if you believe in me, I'll save you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you just exercise your free will, I'll save you. The Lord Jesus Christ did something. The Lord Jesus Christ did something. As a result of Him doing something, I'm getting ahead of myself, I know. I'm not a speaker. As a result of the Lord Jesus Christ doing something, the woman saw what He did, and she said, you're my Lord. I'm going to say that again. But let's go first and see what He did. It says here, He stooped. He stooped. What condescension. Here is the Holy One, separate from sinners. That holy thing that should be born of thee shall be called Son of God. God manifest in the flesh. Oh, what condescension that God should take on our flesh, human flesh, and wander around in this, go around in this world around sinners. Have you ever been around somebody that you just don't like? That just rubs you wrong? You can't stand it. I want to get away to somebody. I thank the Lord for brothers and sisters in Christ. You feel good. Feel welcome. Feel at home. But I'm talking about just feeling like you just can't. People don't like you. People don't like you. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's God. And man by nature hated Him. All the time, all the imaginations of men's thoughts, continually wicked, continually against the Lord Jesus Christ, continually saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. And He's here in this world. What condescension. He came into this world and was made flesh, that He might redeem them that were under the law. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Made under the law. He was circumcised on the eighth day and subject to keep every bit of the law. Every bit of the law. He stooped. What great condescension that the lawgiver should become subject to that law. He did this for one reason. God's law must be honored. God is holy. And if He is going to save, if He's going to save His people, if He's going to deliver them in the presence of God, as you said, brother, look, there's no spot. No spot. Then there must be no spot in that obedience. He came and perfectly obeyed God's holy law. He stooped. Identified. He identified the spotless one. He stooped down to where the woman was. He identified with her. He became one with her. He became one with His people. What great, great condescension. The Lord Jesus Christ stooped down. And these men, they said unto Him again, He stooped down. I notice here it says, but Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. He wrote on the ground. The only other time we have one of the times we have where God wrote with His finger on the ground was when the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses. And this is what it is saying. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. I came to do it. That law must be honored. So when He first came, when that first humiliation in the redemption of His people, in the salvation of His people, He was first established righteousness. And that's what He came to do. Bless God, He did it. And then it says, so when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself again and said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. The Lord Jesus Christ, He knew who He was talking to. These people were quick with the trigger. These people were quick with the rocks. They were self-righteous. They were just like the Apostle Paul, who said, according to the law, I was blameless. And this is just a whole bunch of Saul of Tarsus. A whole bunch of them. They are these that trust in themselves that they are righteous and others are sinners. And they were sure this was a sinner because she was caught in the act. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew who He was talking to. He was talking to people who were ready to throw the stone. But they could not throw a stone. They could not throw a stone. You know why they could not throw a stone? Because her representative was right there. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is representing her, is right there. None can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. None can put one thing on the charge of God's elect. They continued asking, and He said, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now the Lord Jesus Christ does not justify His people by saying, well, I'm going to take my people and take them into glory, because after all, they're not as bad as these other people. That's not the argument. That's not the argument. The Lord Jesus Christ justifies His people because He goes and suffers the punishment in their stead. Just like what Paul wrote to Philemon concerning Onesimus. Onesimus had wronged Philemon. Onesimus had stolen and run away from Philemon. And Onesimus wrote a letter back. Can you imagine Onesimus walking up to Philemon? Onesimus was a runaway slave. No good. He deserved death. And they killed slaves back then. And you don't have to go back that far. Just go back into our history. You don't run away. I'm going to show you a lesson. Well, can you imagine Onesimus walking up to his master with that letter? Read that letter. Can you imagine the confidence? Notice the confidence of the Apostle Paul in the grace of God when he asked, I'm jumping, y'all stay with me. When he says to Philemon, you receive Onesimus as me. I'm confident you're going to do it. That's how the grace of God works. And the grace of God saves His people from their sins. Saves His people from their sin. These men could not throw the stone. And the argument is, Father, if they lay what they owe you, what they owe that holy law, put it on my account. And that's exactly what God did. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He was made sin for us. He bore our sins in His own body and went to the cross and paid the debt. I pay the debt. That's what His humiliation, we see His humiliation first in His condescension of coming into this world and being made flesh. His humiliation to be subject to the very law that He gave. His humiliation to go to the cross and suffer that ignominious death. Oh, how men mocked Him. Oh, how we mocked Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, for His great love, He humbled Himself and He identified with this woman. And He went to the cross and He bled and He died. Now, when He died, was He successful? Was He successful? Did He come merely to give an attempt? Was it merely an attempt? Or was it a contribution? I'm going to do my part, now you do your part. Or was it an actual salvation? Was it actually putting away all Their guilt was it actually paying for all their sins. In the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary, the one who has to be satisfied is God first. God first. And God justified. It says there in Romans 4:25, He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Raised for our justification. When He rose from the grave, He rose free. Free from sin. He bore our sin. But when He rose from the grave, He had put away our sin as far as the east is from the west. It says in the scripture, God can't remember them anymore. And here's what it says here in this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ, again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they had heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. This woman, these men, they would have stoned. You see the power of God. We're delivered by the power of God. The blood of Jesus Christ is the power of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. He was left with the woman alone and the woman standing in the midst. And you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ did away with all her accusers. That's what this woman saw. The Lord Jesus Christ did away with all her accusers. He did not say she's not guilty. She's guilty. He did not say, we're just going to pretend it didn't happen. His representation, His intercession for her, and this woman just standing there, amazed. Amazed. Can you see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Amazing grace. Amazing grace. All my accusers are gone. Huh? All my accusers are gone. Where are they? Not only they're gone because there's no more sin. Look at Romans with me. My English Bible is always in the wrong page. Romans 8. That's why it looked wrong. I was in the book of Acts. If you have a Spanish Bible and you read it, or just if you have one Bible and you read it, and then you grab another Bible and try to read it, you ever notice how they're on the wrong page, you can't find it? It looks like a different Bible. Well, this is a different Bible. It's the same word, but it's all in Spanish, all in English. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now this time right here with this woman, she would have thought, well, that's not good. It's not good. I was exposed. Oh, no, that's good. That's good. See, no one is ever going to see the glory of God and the salvation of her soul until they see first their sinners. No one's ever going to see it. All things work together for good. "For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified." He justified. "And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us in Christ Jesus, who can be against us?" What could this woman say? What can the church say? Guilty. If the Lord Jesus Christ represents me, who can be against me? Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, that's the reason God can spare you and be just in doing it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for this church, for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God in Christ Jesus who justifies his people. Who is he that condemneth? Woman, where are thou then accusers? Woman, church, where are your accusers? You know that sin, your sin is ever before you. You know. You confess, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Your sin is ever before you. But before God, it's not there. It's not there. Who shall be able to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Woman, where are thine accusers? He lifted up himself. He lifted up himself when he was resurrected. When the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the grave, his life and his death is meaningless apart from his resurrection. God is satisfied. God raised him on the third day. And we are justified by him in his resurrection. When he had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Can no one condemn you before God? Can the holy law of God condemn you? Can Satan? Well, he tries, doesn't he? He tries. But can the holy law of God condemn you? Oh, no. The Lord Jesus Christ honored that law. He established perfect righteousness. That righteousness is ours by faith in him. That righteousness is unto all that believe. Righteousness, he is Jehovah Tzidkenu. I stand before God dressed in the righteousness of Christ my Savior. And sin, he did away with it. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Hath no man accused thee? And the woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Notice she said, no man, Lord. She didn't speak until after she saw what he did. When the Lord shows you what he's done, he'll open your mouth. He'll open your mouth to praise him. He'll open your mouth to sing his presence and say, Lord, you are my Lord and my God, my Savior. Before then, she couldn't open her mouth. Guilty. But when the Lord did away with her accusers, she could open her mouth and she say, Lord. You know, she had no interest in him before this. She had no interest. She probably heard of him, no doubt. The Lord Jesus Christ, his fame went through all the land, but she had no interest in him. And so also his people, until God brings this mercy, brings us to know him and his mercy and reveals himself as our Lord, then we have interest in him. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, now this is salvation. Neither do I condemn thee. Neither do I condemn thee. That's salvation. When God doesn't condemn you. When the judge of all earth doesn't condemn you. That's salvation. Neither do I condemn thee. Why? Because he was condemned. He was judged. There is no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he was condemned. He was made a curse. Now notice here, he delivers her from sin. He delivers her from the power of sin. Go and sin no more. He reveals himself, reveals his work, reveals himself to her, and then he says to her, go and sin no more. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sin there anymore. And he's not saying don't commit any more sin, because all men are sinners. We know that from the Word. But when God reveals himself to his people, they like you said, they can't help but believe. They continue to believe because he sustains us. He keeps us in faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Go and sin no more. Now, this woman was not guilty of that sin anymore. I'm sure of that. But there's not a day goes by or a moment goes by we don't have a foolish thought, evil thought. Go and sin no more. The Lord delivers from power of sin, in reigning power of sin. The Lord was merciful to this woman. He showed forth his mercy and his grace. Has he shown mercy to you? I pray the Lord show mercy to every one of us here this morning. Have mercy on me. May the Lord bless this word.